If you're the purchasing manager at a manufacturing plant, you know having a trusted partner makes all the difference. That's why, hands down, you count on Grainger for auto reordering. With on-time restocks, your team will have the cut-resistant gloves they need at the start of their shift. And you can end your day knowing they've got safety well in hand. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello and welcome to the HBO Boys podcast. Today we're talking about Pluribus, Season 1, Episode 6, entitled HDP, directly after learning that Pluribus has been nominated, you know, Best Picture, Television Series, Drama, Best Actress in a Drama, Rae Seahorn. This thing is a prestige television show, Adam.
It is. And while I believe that it is due to win at some point, I think it's too early, man. We're not even at episode 7 yet, and we're already getting nominations for it. Like, I know it's been renewed and it's doing very well, but is it really that low of a pool this year?
Yes. The answer to that is yes. That's also, bummer. Give them the win. And also, the best podcast, we were snubbed again.
I know.
Should have been us.
And the fact that there is a best podcast makes me laugh, but here we are, and the Amy Poehler one's probably going to win, so.
Should have been us!
Should have been the boys!
We jump into Pluribus, Season 1, Episode 6, and Carol is still alone. She's still in an evacuated city in a post-apocalyptic wasteland. That has no crowds, no others. And she's just kind of rotting away, unlike all of those severed body parts that are being refrigerated to the nth degree.
Oh, and by the way, the internet called it immediately. And a nice nod to Soylent Green, another sci-fi movie.
They're drinking people.
The Soylent Green is people. The HDP is human something people.
You nailed it, man.
No, and I don't remember what it means.
This is a bombshell for Carol. So she decides that a video for this one just won't do. And she also knows that Mr. Diabete, how do you say his last name?
Every time I look at it, I just see diabetes, and I know that's wrong. But I would say Diabete?
It's understood.
French. It's French, so I don't know how to pronounce that.
Got it. Mr. Diabetes is in Vegas.
He's in Vegas, baby.
And Carol decides that this piece of information is so important that she is going to the Sunset Strip.
And, would you have driven there? Would you have gone there with that information? Like, would you have done what she did, just knowing that the hive mind doesn't want to be near her? Like, would you go out?
I think for her it makes sense. Although, to be fair, if I was in her situation, as I've previously discussed, I'd be doing a lot of things different.
Yeah, that's fair.
But I did like the scene where Diabetes is in a 007 recreation. Everyone is acting for him. When he leaves the room, they all become the others again and start cleaning up, which honestly I read as sad. It was fine, like, but he's just living out weird fantasies, and then he's sitting in a hot tub, and then all the ladies are like, we have to leave, Carol's coming.
Yeah, it's a little weird and definitely off brand for the hive mind. So I put a comment that the hive needed to stay away from Carol so badly that they broke their only cardinal rule of making the unhived Vegas man happy at any cost. So what do you think that means anything, that they actively are making him sad because Carol, the effect of Carol is so important?
Well, I think it stands to reason that she maybe disjointed Zosha from the hive mind. like she got so close to either getting a real answer from her or actually pushing her out of the meld that they're truly afraid of her and her findings. So they are willing to risk, you know, diabetes and her, their vibes to not be around her right now while they figure out how to not tell her that reversal is possible. And it's fine because, you know, diabetes and Carol get together and have a full conversation where Carol's like, do you know they're sipping people? And he was like, oh, yeah, I already know.
100%. Also, I want to just comment quickly on just the absolute vibe of an aesthetic that Mr. Diabetes has here in Vegas. Just very 70s, very colorful, gold, shiny. It's like golden age Vegas, like mid-century modern. Absolutely love this. And Apple TV in true form, just beautiful visuals, wonderful, like pin sharp sharpness, I guess, pin sharp focus on, nice. On everything. And it just looks so good. And I think any Vince Gilligan type of show will translate so well on Apple TV's format. And I'm so psyched for it.
And then we sort of get like an exposition dump here over the next 10 minutes where Ray Seahorn's Carol learns like this dude's fine with them sipping peeps. And he's also he knows or says to her that they can't be turned without getting stem cells out of their body. Right. At which point Carol listens to the same recording again, which goddamn, one time she should call and be like, make that recording half, make it shorter for the love of God. Yeah. But she doesn't,
and they would do it if they respond the same way they have been. So it was funny first time, but it's played out. I'm done with it. If it happens again, I'll be upset. No,
wow, we don't want to make Adam upset.
It's not a deal breaker though, dude.
Well, you can't make it a deal breaker. This is a Golden Globe show.
I'm gonna stop watching it if it happens again, Ryan.
That'd be hugely detrimental to our podcast.
You just talk to yourself.
Been there. Been there.
You have been, yes.
Yeah. But we also learned some other things. Again, like, she says to them, okay, if you need my stem cells to do the joining bullshit, then I don't allow you to. You're not allowed. And they're like, totally. But it's still up in the air if I believe them at all.
Yeah, I mean, if that really is all it takes, that would be a bummer. Like, yeah, sure, that's the happy path for her, but it's not interesting.
How so? What do you mean?
Well, it's not. Like, if she just says, hey, yeah, I don't want that, and then they're just, oh, okay.
TV right, show you, over.
You don't have to. Credits roll. Right. Smash cut. if that's the way it really was, it feels like you would make anything that happens just inconsequential. Like, whatever. She doesn't have to be turned. There's no threat anymore.
My favorite moment in the series so far, though, happened in this episode where Carol is like, listen, I'm going to go take a rest. I'm going to be chill. And then I'm going to come back and we can continue talking. Mm. At which point, Diabetes makes a face of like, you cannot stay any longer. I would really like all my joining melding friends back and to be not by myself with you anymore. So when she picks up on those vibes and is like, fine. Yeah, I know. I was kidding. Oh, that was a joke. Don't worry about me.
I have a question that I'm just thinking about.
Okay.
If at some point we get the action of the hive mind being disassembled and everyone going back to their individuality, at some point, disassemble Johnny Five?
Right.
Do you think that the people who unincorporated, we'll say, will be upset that it ended, like after they get their individuality back? Do you think that they will react negatively, even if they are really that same person again? Because yeah, they were part of the hive mind?
It'll be a spectrum of responses. I'm sure there will be a few that are like, let me back in. What the fuck?
Yeah. But like, what would be that reasoning? Like, Because they don't have control. Like, I feel like it would be like a puppet, you know, with no control. And that's terrifying to me.
There would be some who are like, let me back in. And there will be some that were mad that it happened, especially when they pop out of it and realize half, if not all, of their families are dead. Mm. Like, yeah, it's good. There's going to be a smattering. And in that hypothetical, there would be a smattering of responses. So that conversation, though, in the morning over breakfast where she decides she's going to leave. Again, my favorite moment of the series happens where she starts putting her breakfast together in a specific way, like making avocado toast out of the pieces or the ingredients in front of her, while Diabetes watches in laying in wait her do something he's never seen done before. Mm. And then he does it in kind and tries it, eats it, and loves it. And I really, really enjoyed this moment because it's one character with free will learning from another character with free will, their lives becoming better because of it, because of like expressed subtle individuality. A moment is special and different. And it, I think, just, you know, paints a really specific picture of this is what's gone on a smallest scale. But obviously, there are larger scales to this that are all gone because you're all one now and you don't get to learn new shit.
Yeah, the hive mind would probably just look at her and smile and say, I like that you do that, and then just move forward. Like, she would give her a compliment on what she was doing. Like, oh, you do you, babe.
This is just like a small petri dish of no more evolution.
Yeah.
We don't evolve no more. We don't learn new things.
We are stopped. That's it. Done. Invented everything.
Because we are optimizing where we got to. The line in the sand ended the moment we all became one. And now we shall optimize backwards. Like, while we're not learning new things, we got to figure out how to, without killing a fly or picking a vegetable, maintain 7.something billion people. And it all just seems so, I don't know. She, like, okay, is Carol going to like end up being a teacher, basically? Like, I don't think I can stop the hive, so perhaps I can reintroduce culture to the hive.
Oh, interesting. And
convince them that individuality, perhaps one by one, like through the power of avocado toast, shall she pull anyone out of the rubble?
That would be probably very interesting to watch over multiple seasons, how different people handle it and how she interacts with other people, where they all know the same thing. So I think that might be the fatal flaw in that, is that if she's talking to one person and trying to convince them, that the entire hive mind knows she's doing that. If there's a way for her to inject something one by one to dismember them from the hive mind, perhaps, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think this sort of moves the needle on. Mm. Perhaps the story is no longer pointing towards destroying the hive. It's maybe pointing towards infecting it with humanity.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, she's like cultural patient zero. And over time, somebody's just like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I don't have to sip people and stock shelves. I can fly a kite or fight a werewolf. Like, what? I can do anything? Yeah, I don't know if I want to be in the high mind no more.
Yeah, I wonder how they would disassociate from the hive mind as an individual thinker, though. We don't know yet.
Little lame, like,
yeah,
again, it would basically be like you fall out of the hive through the power of friendship. I'm not 100% on board with that, but it's an interesting possibility. And then we get to the end, and Manousos has, after going through all the radio waves, hearing one of them that is odd and we can't quite place yet what it is, pointing out that he's being very meticulous about this. We go back in time like 3 days from the Vegas adventure, and he watches Carol's video that she sent out, and it seems as though he's gonna try to go see her. So yeah. Driving from Paraguay to New Mexico, which is gonna take a little while, especially in a car that barely works. And as he leaves, a woman who is apparently his mom walks up and is just like, "Can we help you? I'll try to do anything you need." Mm-hmm. And he's like, "You're not my mom. My mom was a bitch."
You bitch.
You bitch.
Yeah, that was weird. You know, when his mom was in the shadows and she was talking to
Shadow Mom.
I thought that when she was gonna step out, it would be like this big reveal. But then I was like, oh, it's just some Paraguayan mom.
I knew it was her mom, dude.
I mean, it he said mom.
We called this, by the way.
Did we?
That it was going to be a family member, like a person that they were trying to get him not only with food, yes, but with vibes.
Yes, true, 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 true. Oh, was it the same lady that was delivering him food?
Yeah, man.
I didn't make that connection. I didn't even make. Never mind. Never mind. That's the reveal. I missed that. I'm dumb.
Okay. I don't think that's true, baby.
Thanks. Appreciate you.
Don't attack my friend. My friend is you.
Oh, wow. I'm so self-deprecating over here. One thing I want to just step back. I heard on the internet that John Cena was in this episode of Pluribus in the hotel scene, but I just couldn't find him at all.
What? Did you watch the episode?
Yeah. I didn't see him at all.
He was in the video describing HTP.
What are you talking about?
Open it up.
Open it up right now. I could not see him.
He was on the screen for a long period of
Ryan,
time.
Ryan, I could not see him.
Oh. I get it. I didn't get it. So anyway. But now I get it. The inside joke of John Cena not being able to be seen. I'm a dumb piece of shit.
So we're a level playground right now.
Yeah, we're pretty level.
Okay, so anyway, back to Minuso's here. So that message that he heard, the message that's being heard on his frequency radio, like, do we think that, I mean, it's got to be something to do with the aliens, but do we think that that is the furthermost hive mind aliens trying to make contact with the earthbound aliens? Or is that, do you think that's just the signal that was being sent out?
I mean, it doesn't have to be the aliens. It could also just be other peoples.
Yeah, maybe. But there's only 12 other people in the world, or 11 other people in the world, that are immune, that they know of anyway.
That's true. I think this is just one of those like classic Vince Gilligan, we're not going to tell you the things and you'll figure it out down the line.
You're going to figure it out in 3 seasons and you're going to forget about it.
Also, in a previous episode, Carol said that she had her eggs frozen, so pretty noteworthy that the others promised not to take the cells from her body.
Oh.
They perhaps don't need to.
Oh, no. I missed that. Oh, no. That seems complicated.
Me too. Also, yeah. I just keep thinking about the answering machine message. That needs to just stop.
It's, you know, it man, is overbearing.
I'm going to stop watching this show if it happens again.
That's what I said, dude.
What?
I'm done, dude. Podcast over if it happens next season or next episode. No, I'm scrubbing through the show right now. And that cliffhanger at the end of the episode. Well, it wasn't really a cliffhanger. It was just the man leaving in his car and driving away. People were like, how is he going to drive from Paraguay to New Mexico? There's like this very specific part where you can't drive over, and it's called the something gap. And it turns out that the next episode is called The Gap.
Okay.
That's what I read. Is that true? I don't know. Let's confirm it.
Yeah, he's going to have to use problem solving, probably.
Yeah. It is called The Gap. So, I don't know what it is, but we're going to be following this man for most of next episode, I'm feeling.
I want to go back to the radio wave quick.
Yeah, for sure.
Maybe it is like the frequency that the hive mind is communicating on.
Yeah, but is it the frequency of the ingredients that were picked up by those people, you know, 500 days earlier, and they just continue sending it, and he's just hearing it now?
No, I just think it's like the active frequency that the world is communicating with.
Oh, so you think that that's the outside source that's controlling the hive mind now?
No, I think it's the internal source that the hive mind uses to across the earth talk to itself.
Interesting.
With.
Like an infinite worldwide Wi-Fi.
Yeah, correct. Yeah. Like they're all connected by Bluetooth.
Yeah. I mean, that is kind of the description of a hive mind, right? Everyone's kind of just connected to the same thing. So, you know, Bluetooth headphones connecting to your home base.
Your home base. I will tell you, with the amount that, you know, Bluetooth sometimes doesn't work or my car forgets that it exists. At some point, the hive should go offline and then come back online. Like we should have to hard reset the hive at some point.
Yeah. You got to press both earbuds at the same time. But did you know that Bluetooth also doesn't work underwater? Do you think if the hive, like a hive-minded person, goes underwater, they lose the connection?
No. I bet the radio waves are so strong and they're using all the cool. They're all using the cool satellites.
But I mean, come on, that would be cheeky.
Do you think any of the others are in submarines right now?
I mean, they have to be, right? There had to have been submarines at some place on Earth.
Yeah, but they would have come back and docked if they were trying to be like as efficient as possible, unless
they're like Bluetooth.
Unless they're doing some submarine Bluetooth bullshit.
Yeah,
and there are some others, like just a 4-year-old kid who's like Periscope.
Yeah, what if just out of nowhere, we see a submarine rising out of the water and the captain opens up the hatch and he's breathing heavily like, why hasn't anyone responded? And he perks up in like the harbor of Los Angeles and the entire city is empty. What has happened? And it's like an unhive-minded guy because he's been in a submarine the whole time.
Oh, I thought like, yeah, he would come out of the water and then reattach.
No. Like,
whoa! And then he gets above water and he's like, oh, everything's fine, actually.
The hive mind was happened by spraying stuff in the atmosphere. That was alluded to anyway from those planes from episode one.
Yeah.
So if anyone truly was in an isolated area without outside air access that was unfiltered, they would not be hive minded. And it's assumed that now it's 12 days post incorporation. It would have like died off in the atmosphere. And now like if you did come out and you were unhive minded, you wouldn't be affected until you kissed the next hive mind person that came along.
Yeah. Or like a rat is hiding
or like a rat is in and eats you. Yeah. But like that is an interesting theory. Like anyone who was isolated, you know, I think of maybe people in prison, solitary confinements. That don't have access to the outside world or in a submarine or something like that. I think that's viable that they wouldn't have been affected.
In other news, I like that all the other survivors are in a group chat and they're like, let's not have Carol.
Yeah, that was really a bummer. I felt bad for her because she, and then that was the scene where she went in the bathroom and was like crying, right? Because like even in the end of times where there's 13 people left in the world that can talk with you that aren't hive mind, you still are the least liked person. That's terrible.
And then I think, you know, to wrap this up, it's crazy that there are only 3 episodes left of this season.
No, I hate it.
And you mentioned they are going to be filming season 2 in spring, but we might not see the show again for 2 years. Like, we have 3 episodes left, not seeing this for 2 years, not seeing Severance forever. Succession is gone. Yeah. Hopefully Fallout comes around sooner rather than later. Hopefully the second season is just as good as the first.
Yeah.
And it doesn't go the way of the third season of One Punch Man. That is a bummer. It bums me out every time I think about it, and it's bumming me out right now.
You know what I wish that they would bring back, and I know it's never going to happen, but
Legends of the Hidden Temple?
That's not where my mind went, but I agree 1,000% with you. Don't get me wrong.
Okay. I cut you off. I'm just going to be mentally doing the Shrine of the Silver Monkey.
You are fine. Always put the base on first, you dumb idiot.
That's the one on the bottom. What other way is there to do it?
These kids are dumb. So, I wish that they would bring back like 20-episode television shows that were 40 minutes long. Like, I don't know why that has stopped. I mean,
probably money.
It's money. Yeah, but some of these shows have bigger budgets than ever.
Yeah, but they'd be bigger if they were 40 minutes and more of them.
Sure, but why not? I don't know. Not film in a completely empty version of Albuquerque, New Mexico, and just film in the apartment for a few episodes. Like, I don't know.
Or on a soundstage on a Netflix lot.
Or on a soundstage on a Netflix lot, which they kind of did do a little bit. But
would make a perfect, high ranking producer at Netflix. Like, let's make them all 80 minutes long. No. And 400 episodes, and they all are in one room.
No. But I mean, we look at, name any show in the late 90s, early 2000s, and they had long runs. They had great quality, great writing, and they were, a half hour, 45 minutes, but it ran for 21 episodes, something like that. I miss that type. Like, the 10 episode seasons are just, they're killer, man, because they hook you and then it's done.
I mean, kind of exactly what you're talking about is Lost, which if it wasn't...
Yeah, there you go.
For Dexter, right? Yeah. But Lost is, I think, the best example of it, just because if it wasn't forced by the network to do seasons the creators didn't want to do in the first place, it probably wouldn't have fallen off the earth as far as it did. But... But at the same time, HBO went to the Game of Thrones guys and was like, you can make as many as you want.
Yeah.
They can be as long as they want.
Sure.
They can be around forever. And they were like, nah, we got Star Wars. We're getting out of here. And then they made such shitty TV that the Star Wars people were like, we're good. Actually,
that's right. Oh my god,
actually,
that's
fuck
right.
Off, so.
I forgot about that. That sucks for them, dude.
I'm Googling the Darien Gap right now.
Oh yeah, that's what it's called, right?
Looks treacherous, dog.
Yeah. Oh, I'm excited to see that. I wonder if they shot on location, dude.
Highly doubtful. In fact, they shot all of the storage unit stuff with Monosos at night to purposely not show the stuff in the distance, because they did it in New Mexico and not in Paraguay.
Understood. Well, that makes sense. Yeah, interesting. Panama-Colombia border. The only overland connection between Central and South America, notorious for its deadly mix of treacherous terrains like swamps, rivers, and mountains.
Man, ooh. I can't wait till Minusos gets attacked by Bluetooth spiders.
Oh, and on that note, Jesus Christ. I'm psyched to see how this season continues to pan out. I very much like the show. I'm excited to see next episode after reading that. That sounds insane. But we will be back next week to talk about it. So come back and join us, why don't you? But in the meantime, you can find us on our Patreon at patreon.com/HBOBOIZ. For one or more dollars a month, you can get all this stuff early and ad-free, and we give you some Patreon exclusives there periodically. And we also read your name at the end of all the episodes, and you can set your name to be whatever you want, so have fun with that. But we'd like to thank our current patrons, Connor O'Dowd, Jamie Lochner, please Adam, please Adam, please Adam, please Adam, please, I miss James, Brent Ginn, Craig, John Jewers, Major Woody, Butter Nichols, Susan, Buffalo Pizzle, Seafritz, and Pumpkin Season 4. And thank you, Brent Ginn and Butter Nichols, for being our $5 a month tier patrons. We appreciate you and all of you who donate to our podcast. And also, you might get lucked out, or you might luck out, I miss James, because I think James may come back for a show. Is that right?
I don't know. He said.
Oh, well, can't go off that.
No, but he said he was going to do Knights of the Round fucking right. Dunk an Egg. Yeah. And he said.
He said.
If he doesn't do it.
Who knows?
I'll be so mad, man.
If he doesn't do it, I suppose I'll do it. But I kind of wish that he would do it because he's more engaged in that kind of stuff. So,
yeah, we're going to do Fallout, though.
Yeah, 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 for sure. We're going to do Fallout. But please also find us on our socials at the HBO Boys Podcast or the HBO Boys Pod on Threads, Instagram, and TikTok. I'm pretty active on Threads. Cool space. If you want to talk movies and TV, I'm there. What are your hopes for the next episode, Ryan? Besides Bluetooth spiders attacking this man, what do you think is going to happen? You know, we're talking about treacherous terrain, criminal elements, although criminals are don't exist anymore.
No criminal elements.
I'm just reading the description of the Darien Gap.
I just sort of want to see, like, sure, if it can be a whole Minosos.
Yeah.
Episode?
Yeah, for sure.
But I would like to see, like, Zosia come back and what's her vibe?
Yeah.
Have they reintroduced her? I would just like a little bit of forward movement on the Hive Mind v. Carol v. Hive Mind story. But if you want to do 30 to 35 minutes of straight Minosos, all right.
You know, I think this guy is going to be very important next season. So I'd be okay with a long form episode with him as well. But the description of this on Apple TV is Minosos begins a dangerous trek to meet Carol. Returning home from Las Vegas, Carol gets creative with her rebellion. So it is not just going to be him, but I'm hoping that a larger portion is.
Yeah. Well, I feel also, by the way, we're coming to the end of this season. Yeah. We have three more episodes. I have this weird, strange suspicion that there's going to just be a giant cliffhanger at the end of this thing.
1,000,000%. That is Vince Gilligan's calling card, dude.
What do you think it's going to be?
Dude, I think that it's going to be, well, here's my theory. I think it's going to be something along the lines of the hive mind finding a solution. It's going to build up and be very tense. And then the last scene will be a reaction to whatever they are attempting to do to Carol to convert her over, and we're not going to know if it was successful or what happens there or the relationship. It's just going to cut to black, something like that. I think it's going to build up very tense, and it's going to be Carol v. Hive Mind.
I wonder if the cliffhanger is going to just be like something Carol doesn't see, but at the same time, like a needle shift moment in the hive mind based on something that she instilled upon them, showing that the hive mind can change, but she has no idea, but the audience does. That'd be cool. Like,
that would be cool.
The audience is smearing avocado on toast, the hive mind is, and it's like, this is good, and we're like, what the fuck?
Wait, hold on, dude. Here's another possibility. I would love to see this happen because I know we talked about this a couple of episodes ago. A man is working in a, I don't know, let's say a mine or like an open field or something, hammering something into the ground that is a support for something, like a construction worker. And he's hammering and we get a slow zoom out and it's just very slow and you still don't know what it is. And it's zooming out, very long zoom until you find out it's the entire country of Africa and it's a giant satellite.
Yeah. And then we zoom back in and every hit on every nail prior has been successful, and then they miss one time.
Showing shit!
Yeah, that they're like...
That would be fucking great.
Kind of falling apart, and it's Carol's fault.
Dude, that actually would be fire.
Yeah, that would be fire.
Something, if it was something like that, like where it's like they're building this huge communication device that's the size of a country, but they're failing.
And we see the first small, minuscule failure. As it begins to ripple through the hive mind,
or he's hammering into this pylon and he hits an ant by mistake. Cut to black.
And the ant, while dying, is like, "You must construct additional pylons." Is that too niche of a joke?
Not for me,
man. How did we not get nominated for best podcast at the Gods and Gobs? It's because we're bad, isn't it?
If you're an HVAC technician and a call comes in, Grainger knows that you need a partner that helps you find the right product, fast and hassle-free. And you know that when the first problem of the day is a clanking blower motor, there's no need to break a sweat. With Grainger's easy-to-use website and product details, you're confident you'll soon have everything humming right along. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.